Chapter 28. After dressing appropriately, Kylar walked to Logan's tent. Logan's bodyguards nodded and pulled back the flap for him. The sun was poised on the horizon, but the tent was still dark enough that lanterns were needed to illuminate the maps that the officers, Aegon, and Logan were studying. Kylar joined the group silently. The maps were accurate, aside from missing the supply train.
"They outnumber us 6-1, Aegon said. "But they don't have any cavalry. So we ride out. The witch hunters pick off a few officers and we melt back into the hills. We start gathering food so we can make it through the winter and send out more scouts so we find any supply train they might have coming. It's the only way. They didn't expect walls. They'll starve before we do."
"The supply train is right here," Kylar said, pointing on the map. "It's accompanied by 1,000 horse." There was silence at the table. "We have lost a scout in that direction," an officer said.
"Are you certain?" Aegon asked. "How big is it?"
Kylar dropped a sheaf of notes on the table. There was silence as the men picked up the rice paper sheets and read. Only Logan didn't read as the officers shared the notes back and forth. He stared at Kylar quizzically, obviously wondering what he was trying to accomplish. "How did you get these, Wolfhound?" an officer asked, using the nickname the soldiers had given Kylar. "I fetched." Kylar gave him a toothy smile.
"Enough," Aegon said, throwing his papers down on the table. "It's worse than we feared."
"Worse?" the officer said. "It's a disaster."
"General," Kylar said to Logan, "can I have a word with you? Alone?"
Logan nodded, and the other men filed from the tent, carrying the notes for further study.
"What are you playing at, Kylar?"
"Just making you look good."
"An impending slaughter makes me look good.
A disaster diverted makes you look good.
And you have a plan?"
"Garawashi wants food and a victory. I propose we give them to him."
"Why hadn't I thought of that?"
Logan said, uncharacteristically sarcastic. He was really worried then. "Good. It doesn't have to be a victory over us," Kylar said. Then he explained. When he finished, Logan didn't look surprised. He looked profoundly sad.
"That would make me look good, wouldn't it?
And save thousands of lives, and the city," Kylar said.
"Kylar, it's time for us to finish that conversation."
"What conversation?"
"The one about king-making and queen-unmaking."
"I don't have any more to say."
"Good. Then you can listen," Logan said.
He rubbed his unshaven face, and his sleeve fell to show the edge of the dully glowing green tattoo etched in his forearm.
"People commonly misquote the old Sacronomicon and say that money is the root of all evil, which is moronic if you think about it. The real quote is that love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Not as pithy, but a lot truer. In the same way, what I am capable of doing in the pursuit of power and sex, the man I choose for Logan Gyre to be will not allow. My hunger for food couldn't make me a monster in my own eyes, not even when I ate human flesh. I was driven to that by necessity, not perversion. I suppose the same could be said of you for killing. I saw it on your face when you killed my jailer, Gorky. You do it, but you don't love it. If you loved it, you'd turn into Hugh Gibbet. There is a foul pleasure in it.
Kylar said quietly. There's pleasure in having a full belly, too.
But for some, it's a dangerous pleasure.
When I ordered you to kill Gorky, you didn't feel that.
Logan saw his tattoo was uncovered, and covered it.
I did.
I gave an order, and he died. I killed with a word, and I loved it, and I wanted more.
So now what? You going to become a hermit, move to a cottage in the woods?
I'm not that selfish.
Logan scrubbed a hand through his hair.
If I asked you, would you kill Tara Grayson?
Absolutely.
Logan closed his eyes.
He'd obviously expected it.
If I didn't ask you, would you do it anyway?
Yes.
Have you been planning it?
Yes.
Damn it, Kylar.
Now I know.
So why'd you ask?
Kylar asked.
To remove the excuse.
Can you rule justly after you take the throne unjustly?
Good question to ask the woman who stole yours.
How, Kylar?
Schedule a meeting with her and drink a lot beforehand.
Damn it, man. How are you going to kill her?
A botched abortion.
I'd poison whatever abortifacient she uses. Many of those potions are dangerous. If it appeared she'd taken double what her apothecary recommended, it would look like a tragic and shameful accident for a single, wanton young queen. If the nobles tried to cover up the details, the rumors would swirl around what a whore Tara was, rather than speculations that she was assassinated. And it would make the virtuous new king look even better.
Gods!
Logan breathed.
How long did it take you to come up with that?
Kylar shrugged.
Couple minutes.
There was pain in Logan's eyes, as if he had to struggle to speak.
It's brilliant, Kylar. It's brilliant.
And I forbid it.
You forbid it?
Yes.
And how do you propose to forbid me anything?
Kylar asked.
Logan looked astonished.
Despite all my efforts, you're not my king. You can't forbid me a damn thing.
Logan's face darkened, and all his usual conviviality drained away. It made Kylar conscious of just how tall Logan was. His lean 7-foot height made him a looming, merciless skeleton.
Know this, Logan said. If I'm crowned because of Tara Grayson's murder, I'll have you executed.
You'd kill me for Tara Grayson?
I'd execute you for treason.
An attack on Cenaria's sovereign is an attack on Cenaria. She shouldn't be queen.
But she is.
You had no right to swear fealty.
I did what I had to do to save the people, Kylar.
Now I must abide by my word. Politics is ethics writ large.
Politics is the art of the possible, and you know it, Kylar said.
On the eve of battle, the tides changed so you couldn't be king, so you changed course. The tides are changing again.
Logan folded his arms. His voice was granite.
My word stands.
Can you love an idea more than you love a man and not become a monster? How many friends will you sacrifice on the altar of justice, Logan?
If you force my hand, at least one.
They were standing on a precipice. Socially, Logan had always been Kylar's superior. Morally, Kylar had always felt inferior too. But they'd never been placed in a direct hierarchical relation. Now Logan was giving an order. He would not be moved.
Kylar could only accept his order, and accept all his orders henceforth, or reject it and them forever.
there was part of him that yearned to obey. He was convinced that killing Terra was the right thing. But Logan's moral compass was a more accurate instrument than Kylar's. What was it about submission that was so hard? Kylar wasn't being asked for blind servility. He was being asked to obey a man he knew and loved and respected, who in turn respected him. The wolfhound is pampered by the fire. The wolf is hunted in the cold. "Do you know how much I love you, Logan?" Kylar asked. Logan opened his mouth. But before he could say a word, Kylar said, "This much," and left.